Hello and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us and really pleased to have Jolene Jang with us. She is an Asian inclusivity consultant and really someone who I've had the pleasure really to interact with a lot in the last couple of years. Thanks for joining us, Jolene.
Glad to be here, Tyler.
And you are you're joining us from beautiful Seattle, Washington, probably.
At the moment, it is beautiful Seattle, Washington. And yes, I've grew up here. My mom went to school with Quincy Jones and Jimi Hendrix because of redlining. But yes, that is a benefit.
That's crazy. You told me that before. Wow.
Oh yeah, Bruce Lee too. Bruce Lee as well.
Oh, and then you throw him in there. That's like the all-star team.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us. You deal in, I'll back up here. You've been a speaker for like more than 25 years, right?
Yep, correct.
And talked to Fortune 500 companies. I think even in your bio, you said you've been, mentioned on Oprah, the Today Show, Good Morning America.
Interviewed by, let's get it straight, Tyler. On her couch, all right.
And I think, and we were talking earlier, and you said, before you were mainly like a motivational speaker, talking on fun topics, et cetera.
Yeah, person. I'm a reward. People are excited. They see, oh, we're having the fun specialist. So a lot in Seattle, there's a lot of technology. So Microsoft and Starbucks and a lot of progressive companies. So I did a lot of team building and organizational development workshops, but I'm the fun person. So people are really excited to see me, which is maybe different than now. So
yeah, but all that kind of changed a couple of years ago when something happened in Atlanta that was very horrible, tragic. Maybe explain what that was and why that brought you to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, why the shift? So as 26 years as a professional speaker and talking about innovation and team building and how to maximize meetings, during COVID, people who are Asian, Americans who are Asian are blamed, Kung flu and China virus, and we're blamed for this disease. And with the Atlanta shootings, 6 of the 8 were Asian Americans. And so with that, I knew that this was making the news because there were Asians that I had seen that were also attacked earlier, but it didn't make the news. And so when you have all the channels on this massacre, then I thought, all right, I got to chime in because my community is 98% white. A lot of influencers, professional speakers, event planners, and people who really globally influence the world. And I thought, well, let me just get me and my friends and we will tackle this, Tyler. We'll make a difference. We'll make it safer. Let me do some posts and we'll just do this and we'll solve the problem. Not so much. So, yeah.
So you really changed your whole tack and talk about Asian inclusivity. What does that mean?
Well, when DEI with George Floyd and it's like Uvalde, George Floyd, there's all these anniversaries. With George Floyd, there's a big movement. All right, Black Lives Matter. Let's look at that. Let's look at all these challenges and what can we do? And so there's a lot of focus on diversity, equity, inclusion. But it doesn't include Asians. So Asians are not included in that. And Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, absolutely not, right? We're just not included. People think we don't have any problems. And in the last 2 years, people don't know that we're attacked every single day, violently. And so people, when we look at topics of diversity and different panels, it's like we have a Black LGBT person and there's never any Asians, right? I mean, certainly it doesn't have much of people with disabilities. Neurodivergence is kind of starting to get in the picture a little bit. But being that Asian Americans, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders are the fastest growing population in America as well, who have the fastest growing purchasing power, there is a financial reason, right? If we don't care about Asians, but if we care about our businesses, we should. So I share with companies and employees both of these things. We would love for you to do the right thing and include AANHPIs as well. But there are
and that stands for
Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders. And
we're celebrating the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Some companies are, right? But this hasn't been the case always. And we do Black History Month and we do Pride Month, and we're just starting to get to the other holidays. It is also Jewish American Heritage Month and Mental Health Month as well.
And I remember we went to PCMA Convening Leaders in Columbus, and I remember that was really the first time I think I met you in person.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, she's sort of new to the industry, but no, in reality, you were the president of ILEA in 2001 and really been involved on the speaker side of it.
Yeah, I was a founder. Yeah. I mean, I'm on the founding board, ran all the events for 3 years of ILEA, really involved for 10 years. Great organization. So I was really plugged into MPI and NACE and all of that before I moved to the National Speakers Association as a speaker. So then I kind of was in there for a while.
Well, what were your impressions there? And what sort of bubbled to the top for you about concerns in our industry regarding Asian Americans and representation?
Well, before I decided to go, I was a nominee for the Advocate of the Year. So that was great. There's three of us. And I was pleased about that. And I also got a scholarship to go because I wasn't going to go necessarily. But I had to decide, is this going to be safe for me? Currently, I do not walk alone. And there's videos of why and everything. But going to a place where I don't really know anybody and be traveling alone, and how many things are going to be off campus while I need to walk by myself. So what I did also before PCMA is looked at the website, looked at the speaker panels. Is this welcoming to Asians? Normally I wouldn't even think about this because I'm used to, you know, all white people. But in this case, I want to be actually safe. And I saw that, unfortunately, when I was looking at all the marketing, I didn't see any Asians, even in the stock photography. And then also looking at the speaker panels, there were 73 speakers in this, you know, main portion, and there were zero Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander speakers. And I thought, ooh, wow, I'm not sure if that's good. Because when there is a lack of representation, what does that mean? A lot of times it's unintentional. We just didn't think about it. We, you know, Asians do fine. We didn't worry about it. But for me, I'm saying, well, I'd like to make sure we have some representation. So maybe I should go. I did a lot of prep work before I went because I knew I did not know people. And I've heard, you know, with PCMA, these are top folks in their field and love each other, right? You've known each other for 20 to 40 years. And I understand that because in the National Speakers Association, I went to every single meeting. I was president for Washington State for 3 years. I'm very familiar with that bonding. And I'm an outsider for a number of reasons. And so I did a lot of networking ahead of time to try and get some warm leads to just talk to. Thank goodness I did, because even though this is the hospitality industry and this is, you know, a top organization, I didn't feel like I belonged at all. And it's not because anybody was mean. Nobody was mean. It's just that if you want to create these intentionally welcoming places and hospitality is your thing, then you have to really plan that out and to understand, well, what does an Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander need? You know, you got to do a lot of digging because that's a wide range of people. And in my 5 days that I was there, five people initiated conversation with me. That's Tyler. I'm an extrovert. I'm wearing fun clothes. I have my first timer badge. I have my nominee badge. I'm wearing gold and pink and everything, right? I'm screaming really to like, talk to me. But it didn't work. I mean, I certainly initiated conversation, but I think there's a lot of room for improvement to talk to first timers, but also, well, if you have first timers and they're a marginalized group, well, that's, you got to be more intentional about that. So there's a lot of challenges I saw that is not unique to this organization. It's just all.
Let me and how about just the end product of a meeting or event, say a meeting planner, how can they make their event more welcoming to Asian Americans? And then also Asian Americans, I mean, that is a broad term. That's like half the earth.
Yeah, 60%. Asian culture, yeah.
Right. And someone from plus. India is vastly different than someone from Southeast Asia, for instance.
Yeah. So let me talk to that second part first. So when we talk about Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders, that is a broad category. And so there's 48 countries, three territories. That's from the UN. People have different ideas on that. And then there's also over 25,000 islands. You have lots of religions, you have many languages, and you have people like myself, Japanese, Chinese, and Swedish, and I'm fourth generation. So the only language I know is English. My parents, English. I'm American through and through. And so you have all these different people. And so, but we're all seen as Chinese and we're blamed. So, for event planners, I think what's important is to learn about this category, and see how diverse we are, listen to stories, because you can't, let me just do this one thing, it'll be welcoming to all. No, but if we can start listening to stories and listen to podcasts and learning about the different cultures and holidays, I think that people will find, wow, we can do different types of themes and different types of cultural events that are going to make us stand out and look like we are culturally competent. And when you are doing that, make sure, absolute sure, you have a couple of folks who are from that culture to make sure you're not, doing this Buddha head thing. Cause let's say, like, as decor, you do not want to do that. Right. So, you need to make sure if you are trying to honor a culture that you have people and more than one from that culture, for the guidance.
Yeah. And I know we've recently written a lot about Hawaii and the movement there, from the native population there to really kind of take back their tourism product and make sure it's not, kind of mocking their values.
Can I just jump in and say that was such a fantastic interview? And I've referred to it in my Asian Allies group. We talked about what Hawaiian Convention Center is doing and the idea of these cultural specialists where it's baked in. We are going to learn about the Hawaiian culture, the people who are here, not just palm trees and luau's. We're going to learn about it and learn about the values, and the water and the land. And I would love to see us on the mainland, see the importance of how, Hawaiian, folks are trying to retain their culture, and bake it into part of the process.
And then on another kind of topic, and we've discussed this before too, assimilation. There's probably, as you've mentioned before, a lot of Asian American people who are like, fine being assimilated. We don't have a problem. I mean, what's the big deal, Jolene, right?
Yeah, so I would say, Tyler, that is the top of my mind. I run into assimilation all day long. And I like to explain this because one of the big challenges in our event and hospitality industry is there are people from this category, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders. And there are a couple of folks who made it to the higher leadership positions. There's not enough? Yes, but also we need to create this space where people can feel like they can share their culture. So if we talk about, let's say, my dad's generation, so he's 82, he's a traditionalist, and he grew up in white areas, and he's the only minority you know, here. And then he's had to assimilate and be in fights, right? You have to, and when he was dating, he would need to drop, if it was a white date, he would need to drop the friend off, you know, the date off a block from their house, right? Because he's not white. And so there's all this simulation that needs to happen for my dad's generation. Okay, so the next generation, it should be better. And maybe it was. But so there are boomers that had to just heads down. Let's just, yeah, we're going to be teased. Oh, for example, a couple of weeks ago, I did a program that I moderated talking about Caught Between Two Worlds. So I interviewed the three people in our industry who are Asian American. And I did these one-on-ones. And what I found, the strong thread between them is assimilation. So for the first gentleman, he's Chinese American and he's successful, I think, and with all the, you know, as we would define success. And he was saying, well, yeah, I just, you know, I was teased too. You know, I just, you know, let it slide off. And he was talking about his childhood, which I asked about. And he said, well, I was president for 8 years of my school. I was the best bowler, you know, in the United States. And I was on the water polo team. And he's saying all these things. And I just, you know, I was tough and I just went through it. Right. And so he's kind of an empowerment speaker and good for him. And I'm glad for him. But the challenge here is we need to share some of the obstacles that you had to go through. And do you want other people to have to fight as hard as you did and to assimilate as hard as you did? Because if we don't identify the problems, then we can't fix them. And another challenge is that he didn't recognize any of his privileges. Like what first generation or second generation do you know that whose Asian parents will let them do all these sports? You would need a car or rides and all this, and, you know, polo club, you need a membership. Like, you know, he didn't recognize any of the privileges either. So I think I would like to try and make it better for the next generations. I talked to a young millennial and she is Taiwanese and an adoptee, and she's from the South and with white parents. And she had moved over to Seattle 3 years ago. And basically she was a little bit bored. She was doing her computer stuff for a group. And then she was kind of bored. So she looked into adoptees and she got to know her Asian culture. And so she refers to her past life and her new life. And something that stuck in my mind was she's in it as a teenager in high school. She says, "Don't call me Asian. I'm a Twinkie through and through. I am proud."
She's proud of that term.
Oh, yeah. And I just, that blew my mind.
And what does that term mean? I mean, it sounds like a derogatory term to me.
It is derogatory and is very strange for somebody to call themselves, and a proud one at that. Twinkie, so yellow on the outside, meaning she's Asian, she looks Asian, but white on the inside, so white acting. So, and now she's accepting her Asianness. So there are a number of terms that speak to self-hatred. And I just learned the term self-hatred a couple of years ago. So self-hatred isn't hating yourself, it's hating the skin that you're in. And in these cases with Asians, where you don't want to be Asian, you know, you want to be white. And I've heard so many stories of, "I wish I were white," you know, growing up. And so that assimilation is that those pressures are really, really hard. So let me share a couple of their terms because I think it will be useful. Again, we don't use these terms, but when you hear them, you can understand them. So there's Twinkie and banana. Banana is the same thing. And there's Oreo, used for Black folks. You know, the Prince of Bel-Air. Do you remember that show from the 90s?
Prince of Bel-Air,
Yeah. So Carlton. So he would be called an Oreo. So black on the outside, white on the inside. And there's coconut. So, you know, used for brown folks, whether they're Filipino, Indian, or Mexican. And fob. So FOB, fresh off the boat. So this would be used for people who are absolutely not assimilated. So when I think of FOB, I think of Vietnamese. When I was growing up in high school, FOBs would have, had just come over here. They have an accent and they have funny hair to me and in different clothing. And I didn't want to be confused with a FOB. So it's like, don't stand too close to me, right? So it's that self-hatred, not hating me, but hating being associated with others who look like me. And the reason, so again, these are all derogatory and it's usually used in-house. So the Black person calling somebody an Oreo. And I'm going to give you two more terms because these are also movies. So ABC, American Born Chinese. So this is Disney is putting this out and maybe this week. And this is based on a novel and it talks about living in the two worlds. And I do recommend this absolutely because it talks about this is a American born Chinese and a white community. And then there's a Chinese kid that comes in and they stick him with him. And so you have this, you know, Chinese American who's trying to like, I'm trying to fit in, but we're putting the Asians together. So that's coming out. And I, you know, how does this relate to the event community? When I've been at some meetings, you know, I want to talk to some of the Asians to just see what, you know, learn about them. But I also, I'm saying, ooh, do they want me to come over? Because I feel that, oh, they may not want me to be too close because if I'm an Asian advocate, I may draw attention to their Asianness. And what they don't know is we see you're Asian. You may pretend that you're not Asian. You may not share your, and so there's that self-hatred. So that's, I think, really important to understand that this assimilation is so hardcore. And so in the event community, you may say, you know, I wonder, you know, my friends, I have a couple of Asian friends in the event community and they've never said anything. Well, they're not trying to make anybody feel bad or complain. And it could be very stressful. Tyler, have you seen the Netflix show Beef?
Oh yeah. I mean, that blew me away. I very rarely am I just like blown out of the water by something. And that was amazing. I just can't wait for new ones to come out.
So what were a couple of points that surprised you or?
Yeah, well, it's, I believe, South Korean American who is a producer of it. And it's really a story of South Korean people of South Korean heritage in the LA area. Right. And yeah. So there's this melding of traditional sort of Korean culture and from the older generations. And then you have this like American culture and then you have this LA culture and all the intermingling of that. And then also the sort of some of the stereotypes that get blown out of the water and what it means to succeed, what it means to struggle in today's society. And it really was a study of people and personalities and what they show to the world.
Yeah, exactly. What they showed to the world.
Right.
So I would, yeah. And also, so you have Ali Wong, who's Chinese, and then the husband who's Japanese. And then there was one part in there where the Korean says, oh, the husband is Japanese. And there was just like, oh, yeah, more rage. And so there were so many subtleties. And one of the things that I was listening to a number of these behind the scenes podcasts and with the writer, he did try and kill himself with those hibachi grills. So these stories are really relevant. And what I want your listeners to understand is with Beef, you know, as you said, oh, showing what they want you to see. So Ali Wong is never sharing. She's never sharing. She always has this face on. Oh, it's great. Oh, how are you? Oh my gosh, I love your hair. And that is not what she's right. That's not what she's really thinking. She's, but because, you know, a lot of East Asians, we are told not to say anything. And so it bottles up And if you think about it, the last couple of years, all this violence and microaggressions and go back home and all of this and politics, there's a lot brewing below the surface. And so as you think of your colleagues who are of Asian Pacific Islander descent, there's a lot more brewing below the surface and you don't know it. And they're not telling you. And
yeah, well, and a lot of it was about like the anger too.
Yeah.
Dealing with this pent up anger they can't control, right?
Yeah. And if you don't, like people, if people hear me speaking, I am very angry. I am doing my best to channel the anger into productivity. Okay, let's share stories. So the Tylers of the word of the world can do something by hearing the story. But if you look at beef, there is anger throughout, and think of your friends, even though you don't see it and they're not telling you, if you ask, even if you pry, they're still not telling you. Know that there is something brewing beneath there. And if we can start to decompress and try and like, let some of that energy out. And that belongs, that's like starting a conversation like, hey, you know, I was reading this article the other day about the model minority myth. Wow, it's really interesting. You know, it's like, if you can educate yourself and then kind of bring it up, you're not saying, hey, tell me about this or tell me that, but you're showing that you're curious and what you're learning. So I think that's a great way to start building rapport, because your Asian friends are not telling you, right? They just aren't. And it takes a lot of rapport and trust, because we're used to being gaslit. Oh, that didn't really happen to you. You're exaggerating. That's sensitive. Oh, it's not as bad as Black people, you know, have to go through. So also it's just a lot of, I guess that's the main point. I think I would like people to understand that there's more to the story than you know. And if we want more of the story, want more Asians to speak up, we need to be an ally and we need to create rapport and start listening and learning and being vulnerable ourselves.
Well, great. Thanks for joining us, Jolene. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, can I give you a couple of ideas of what people can do as well?
Yeah. And then also, how can people contact you? What is the best way to do
Yes.
That?
Okay. So I would like to share with, you know, at a meeting, you know, Tyler had mentioned that my experience at PCMA, what that was like, and it could be improved.
And I would say that's probably in any industry or organization.
Any industry. Any industry. I would say NSA, National Speakers Association, which is super duper white, they have a beautiful way of doing welcoming people. So I think that is the model. So I would say, yeah, just welcome people. Like, understand, okay, you're a first timer, right? Okay. And also if you're a marginalized person, like maybe extra, right? Because they have more obstacles, and just be friendlier. And you know, use people's preferred name. Like, don't nickname them. Like, oh, I can't pronounce your name, so can I just name you this?
Yeah.
Right? Because that happens all the time.
That's awkward. Yeah.
You know, and then just, you know, invite people to share their stories. And also raise the question. If you see that, oh, you know, all the speaker lineup is all white. I know some people of color. I know some people who from some marginalized groups who talk about blah, blah, blah. And when there's, you know, different topics, oh, I noticed you have a diversity topic, but, you know, these particular groups aren't represented. I'm curious about that. So it's, you don't have to do the hard legwork, but just question, and offer solutions. Oh, I know somebody. So I want to encourage you to be proactive. And then my socials are Jolene Jang, Jolene like the song, Jolene. Jang, Jang. It is not Korean. And then I'm most active on Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm trying to do Instagram. I'll get there sometime.
That's the thing with me.
Yeah. And then YouTube, definitely subscribe there. And my website is Jolene Jang. And I do have all sorts of resources, including, attacks on Asians. If you're like, does it really happen? And also resources and why we want to pronounce somebody's name correctly and little things like that, that make a big difference. It don't cost any money, where you could be more respectful to somebody else.
Well, great. Thanks for joining us today, Jolene.
Thank you.
And that was Jolene Jang, Asian Inclusivity Consultant. And I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director of Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast. If you're interested in other podcasts we've done with meetings and events industry thought leaders, just head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section. We have plenty there for you to check out. So thank you for joining us. And no matter what you're up to with the rest of the day, go out and make it great.